Yes, Titus. Yep. We'll pick up at verse 15, but let's open in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity we have to meet and study your word together. We thank you for recording these things for our instruction. We just thank you for the time that we have here. And as we go forward, we pray that the Holy Spirit would open our understanding that we might see where we fit in as your people and how we are to conduct ourselves in this day of grace. We thank you again for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the members of your body. And we thank you for your son, the Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. We ask these things in his name. Amen. Amen. All right. Titus chapter 1, verse. We left off at 15, but we'll go back and get a running start. For those who haven't been here recently, Titus is what we call what is called a pastoral epistle. That is, Paul wrote it to a pastor of that day, which was Titus. And you have 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Those are called pastoral epistles. And that is written to people who are over people. And where we look at verse Titus chapter 1, where we're just going to pick a couple of verses out here. Verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Now, the only reason I'm going back here is because you look at Paul is identifying who he is. So if anybody gives you any kind of a command or a request, you do want to know who are you and why are you asking me this? When Paul's writing, he tells you that he is an apostle of Jesus Christ. Probably need to listen to him, right? Mm-hmm. If he says, especially if I'm your apostle, you just came from the doctor. If another doctor came into your room and said, I don't think you need that procedure, you'd say, wait a minute. Who are you, right? Where is my doctor? Right? But when it comes to Scripture, we don't do that. If Paul says, I'm your apostle, that means one sent from God to you. We would like to say, hey, maybe I should listen to him. But how many times do you actually hear that? So if you don't hear, he says, I'm an apostle for the faith of God's elect. That is, I'm here to help you understand what you are to believe and practice. You say, I already know that. Do you? If all believers knew what they were supposed to believe and practice, we wouldn't have a multiplicity of doctrines out there, would we? If he says, I am here to explain to you what you are to believe and practice. Okay, I'll just give you another example. Here's a baseball man. He goes to training camp. One coach comes up, he says, your mechanics, they're all messed up. I need you to do this. And he starts doing that. Next day, another coach comes to him. He says, oh, your mechanics are all messed up. Who told you that? I need you to do it this way. Day 3, another one comes in. Where is he? Lost. He's lost. What should I do? How should I pitch? What's right? What's wrong? You see the dilemma? Okay, now, we move to doctrine. It's how am I to please God today? One guy says this. You go back next Sunday, the next guy says this. You go back next Sunday, the next guy says this. And you say, wait a minute.
And And all of them are using scripture to do it.
And they're all different. Where, who do you pick? You know, I just watched a movie last night where the guys, he had to kill one of his family members. And he puts a cap over his head. He runs around in circles and he just fires the gun. He was like, whatever hits, that's... But we shouldn't operate like that. Paul says, I'm here for the faith. I'm here to tell you what to believe. And he says this. He says, in hope as expectation of eternal life, which God promised, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through what?
Preaching,
which is committed unto, who's me? Unto me. He says, he's given me the preaching. He's committed unto me the preaching that's for you. Verse 5. We might as well keep going. He says, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and our Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ, and God, I'm sorry, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete. This is Paul to Titus. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. That's the purpose of him writing to Titus, is to set in order the things at this city, which is a local assembly there. This would be a local assembly. This right. It's local, right? And we assemble here. That's a local assembly. It's called the church, which just means a called out group. You're already the church. You, the individuals, not the brick and mortar. We do that by accommodation. I'm going to church. Or what church do you go to? They should really be saying, who do you meet with? Who do you assemble with? That's the key. It's not so much as the brick and mortar. It is who's there and what's going on there. And Paul says, the place where I'm sending you, Titus, I'm sending you to set in order the things that are lacking. And he says, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. What's an elder is the same thing as a pastor, the same thing as a bishop, overseer. That's all it is. He says, and I'm putting you, Titus, in charge to put in charge another elder. So you would think if Paul calls him my own son after the common faith, that is, he believes what I believe.
And is common faith also defined as a fellowship?
It is. It can't be in common if you...
Right.
That's why he says, I can send this man because he believes what I believe. Well, what does Paul believe? Is it something he made up? Is it something he made up? How do you know that?
Word of God.
He just told you where I got it from, right? He says, I'm the apostle of Jesus Christ and God the Father. The doctrine that I got, he said, the preaching that I got was given to me of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, and what I'm giving you is what I received, and that makes you my son after the common faith. And he says, now, when you get to Crete or wherever other city I send you, You tell them what?
What I've told you.
What I've told you. And what I've told you, where did I get it from? Jesus Christ. And you say, well, what is it for? What you get, it will set things in order. What you get, back at verse 1, he says, the acknowledging of the truth is after godliness. That means it promotes godliness. Okay, so he gives the qualifications for the elder in verse 6. If any be blameless, and he goes on, verse 7, 8, he gives the qualifications. 9, he says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. He said, this is why it's important to learn what Paul has to say, is because when you do learn it and hold it fast, that means you're keeping it in your memory and you're keeping it in your practice. You hold it fast, and that will enable you by sound doctrine both to what? Exhort and to convince those who speak against you. Of course, you may never run into anybody who will speak against you with this doctrine. That was only funny to me, me and you. He says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. What's filthy lucre? Money, right. I was checking the youngster to see if he...
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Filthy lucre, that's money. He says, the sound doctrine, you will be able to exhort and convince those people who teach things that they shouldn't teach for money. You believe that, Louise?
Yeah.
That there's people out there who teach things for money?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Just turn on your television.
Wait a minute. Scripture?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't believe that. That's a man of God. He says he's a man of God. He's got the collar on to prove it. The robe, the church, the choir, the car, the TV show, the radio show.
Wrong definition that God is not getting.
It can't be my pastor teaching things that he ought not for filthy lucre's sake. They must be someone else.
Well, listen, even a pastor that's been in business, a pastor for 20 years, he's in a denomination and he starts to understand right division. If he teaches it, he's kicked out of the denomination. He loses his salary, his pension, his health insurance, and so they don't teach it.
Because the money is more important than the truth. Whereas Paul, his whole life was about sacrifice and service to the truth.
Right.
And that's the pattern that we're supposed to follow.
You know, that's, you might not think it's a big deal, but the minute you start to question your well-being, when I say your financial security, then if a guy says, hey, listen, we like you. Johnny, we like you. We like your preaching. But you said something the other day about X doctrine. We don't agree with that around here. So we'll tell you what. You meet with us next week so we can get this straightened out. You say, okay. You come in next week and they say, well, just don't preach that. Don't teach that. and we'll be all right. You're making $1,500 a week. What are you going to do? You'll go home, and when you're getting your lesson together, you're going to say, or your sermon, you're going to say, when you get to that one, how do I soft pedal that? How do I get around that to protect that $1,500? Or do you say, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God? Do you just let it roll and say, hey, if I please you, I can't please God. So you might as well let me go now. You say, oh, I'm out. Sure you are. Until that first $1,500 check doesn't come in, then you might call them and say, hey, about that doctrine, maybe we can work something out. That's why he said holding fast. If you don't hold it fast, you can do what? You can let it go. And they said, don't worry. If you let that go, we'll put something else in your hand. We'll give you 1,500 reasons why you can skip that doctrine today. Okay, we don't have, that's far from us. We don't have that. We don't have that decision to make. Right?
You're not getting that a week?
No, no, no. Month, year, no. But if you ever in the position where you say, I'm not making money, but the principle is still there when you start to, well, maybe they say, Lisa, we like you. Just quit talking about that. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear about Paul. You want to eat lunch? We like to eat lunch. Just don't bring up the Lord when you're at lunch. It's just that simple. So you go to work, it's like, I really like them. But when we sit down, all they talk about is whatever, and I want to talk about the Lord. So you go in, and after a while, guess what happens? Lisa's not talking about the Lord. She's talking about empire or
Kardashian.
Or the, whatever it is. Whatever the unsound doctrine is that leads to ungodliness, not the doctrine that leads to godliness. And you say, well, it's no big deal. It's just an hour. It's just lunchtime. But then it's 2 hours because it's 2 days of lunch. And then it's 5 hours because it's the whole week of lunch. And then she goes home, and guess who gets to hear about the ungodliness? And Mike says, hey, honey, you're talking different. No, I'm not. You're acting different. No, I'm not. She's already being conformed slowly. Then after a while, you say, well, it's all hypothetical. After a while, it says, did you hear it? What? Mike and Lisa. What? Separately, yes. They're having troubles. Because you can't fall out until one of us falls out with the Lord. Until one of us lets the doctrine slip, we're good. But when it slips, then you fall out. Because you're not holding fast, and she's not holding fast. Okay. I think you got the picture on that, right? That's hypothetical, by the way. That's, he says, holding fast the faithful word. And he said, in this case, he says, teaching, they teach things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake, which it doesn't have to be always a money issue. In this case, it was. Verse 14, he says, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Commandments of men that turn from the truth. There's another one. You can. There's just as many commandments of men as there are commandments of God. Because everything God says, there's some other man that has a different standard for you. So if you want to limit it to 10, just say 10 commandments. Here's 10 commandments, and then there's a man somewhere that has his 10 that compromises God's 10. They turn from the truth. He says, unto the pure, all things are pure. Verse 15, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. He says, this is what the commandments of men do. It starts off with the alternative. So, well, let's put this up here. If I put here, this is the truth of God, right? And then I put over here the alternative, which would be what? Opposite of the truth?
Lies.
The lie is the lie. Opposite of God?
Man.
Okay, we're going to say man. And we'll just put up here the devil. Anybody know what the devil means?
Adversary.
Adversary. Well, adverse, right. Which is, but do you know? It's a
accuser.
Yeah, we can do that too. No, this is a
diametric would be opposite.
You know, if you, in Spanish, it's diabolos. You speak Spanish, right?
No.
Oh, I thought.
I don't know.
That is between. Oh, does
he,
no?
He wishes.
He wishes. Okay.
Make sure you
throw.
Yeah.
Okay.
Say what you're writing on the board.
Say what I'm writing. Diabolos is two words. It's D I A. That's dia or between. And bolos means to throw. So his whole, as an adversary, his whole responsibility, his whole aim is to throw something between you and God, and in particularly the truth of God, which is between you and God. So if the truth of God, if it promotes godliness, then the lies of man or the adversary would promote what? Ungodliness. Ungodliness. So the next thing would be, what's godliness? You know, it's, you know what's interesting is this. We go to, you're a nurse, right? If I said, Lisa, go to OR8 and get me a I'm trying to think of a medical term that you
a box of suture shirts, yeah.
No, that's too easy. That's
oh wait a minute, does it have to be hard?
Well, it has to be something that, like some type of a, get me a non-pathogenic serum. That's the best I can do. So if she has to know, first she has to know what a pathogenic serum is, what a serum is, and what a pathogen is, right?
Specifics. It's a drill down.
She has. She says, what are you talking about? And she's been there 15 years and you don't know what a pathogen is as a nurse? Yeah, yeah. So you know what? But we'll go to church 15, 10 years, and we don't even, the truth that we read every week, and God says, this truth is after godliness, and then you don't even know what it is. And you're like, wow, how do you know you reach it? How do you know that you're displaying it if you don't even know what it is? And I'm not saying this, you know, these are foundational things where he says, all that live godly will suffer persecution. And you say, well, wait a minute. He says the acknowledging of this truth is after godliness. I said, And Paul said, follow after godliness. And he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. And you say, do you want to live godly? Sure you do. What is it? Even that, right, that's up to the right. Not the persecution. But let's take the guesswork out of it. Is all it is your, it's the proper worship and service to God.
According to what he's doing today.
Right. And you can't worship him unless he tells you how. You can't serve him unless he tells you how. So when you begin to look at 2 Timothy. Hold your hand in Titus. 2 Timothy. Verse 3. Chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Matter of fact, I'm going to back up to verse 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Yeah. Matter of fact, let's go back to 14. Just for good measure. He says, 2 Timothy 2, verse 14. Of these things, that's doctrine. Put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. That's what you got right here. He says, strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more what? Look up here for it. That's the same thing we just said. Is you have the truth of God, which is godliness, and somebody comes along and he puts something out there, a doctrine that will subvert you, that will overthrow you, and it'll be something that a man said, and it'll create ungodliness. That means it'll take you away from the proper worship and service of God. Even though you think you'll be worshiping and serving God, you'll be following a lie. So,
like when they say, oh, you don't get baptized to be saved, it's just an outward expression of an inward transaction.
Whatever you want to, every doctrine has an opposite or an adverse doctrine. It always does. He says that he calls it profane and vain babblings. Profane and vain babblings. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, and charity. Righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do engender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of what? Out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now that was a lot. But when you turn from the truth, not only does he throw an obstacle in between you, but he takes you captive. And you're not worshiping and serving God, you think you are. He says, really, you're doing what? He says, you're taken captive by him at his will. So you're like, wait a minute now. You got, I just thought of the word. I was going to say Satanness, but we'll use devilish. So when I say devilish, you think Halloweenish, devilish, like bad, base behavior. But you don't think doing what we say good, that could be devilish. You don't think Sunday morning preacher devilish, do you? No, you don't think that. That's the trick. That's the wile. One of the wiles is, he says, it looks bad, but it's not. It looks good, but it's not.
Angels of light, ministers of righteousness.
So you take, I don't know, I'm going to get metal in this too much, but I was looking at TV the other day, and the Pope, he said, we got to have a meeting. Talk about this problem. So I'm going to put some of y'all out for this. I'm going to put you out of the church for this. The Holy Father, right? So how do you know he's holy? Because he said he was. I'm the Holy Father. It's just that funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he has on white. And everybody says he's the Holy Father. Must be the Holy Father, right? Looks like the Holy Father. Acts like the Holy Father. Talks like the Holy Father. Must be the Holy Father. They follow him like the Holy Father. It's a lot of them. It's got to be right. The only problem is, God says, I'm the Holy Father, and there's no other one but me. And that's written in the sound doctrine.
Call no man on earth your father.
This is a just hold your hand right there. Just real quick, turn back to Timothy. 1 Timothy 6. Verse 6:13. I give thee charge, and this is Paul again, writing to another pastor, Timothy. He says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, Timothy, keep this commandment, hold it fast. Until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, or which in his times, he shall show who is the what?
Blessed.
The blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, and what? Lord of lords. You know what the Pope says he is? He says he's the potentate. He's the vicar. And the Lord says, that's all right, let him go. Because in my day, when I show up, everybody will know who is the blessed and
only
potentate, the King of Kings, political service, and Lord of Lords, spiritual worship. He says, I'm going to show everybody who the real Holy Father is.
Which they could know today.
Which they could know today. They could. Okay, where was I? 2 Timothy 3. He says, verse 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers. You think we're in the last days?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's we say the last days of the dispensation of grace, or the time frame where God is allowing all this foolishness to take place. You say, why don't he do something? He will.
In his times.
He says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. It starts off with they will be lovers of what? In verse 2 he says, for men shall be lovers of what? Their own selves. And it finishes up with their lovers of what? Pleasures more than lovers of God. So they love themselves and they love other pleasures. He said, look, they love themselves, right? They love themselves. They worship themselves, and they're lovers of pleasures, right? And they please themselves. They're self-pleasers and they're self-servers. You know what makes it so perilous? He's not talking about the people out in the world. He's talking about people who say they're believers. They've been unsaved people have been self-serving and self-pleasing since forever, right? But he says what makes it so bad is now that this has gotten into the church. The guys that say, the people that say they're believers, these are the ones that you see the self-pleasing and self-serving in. And you say, whoa. How you know that, Frank? He says, keep reading. He says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. He said they have a form of godliness. They have a form of proper worship and service. What's a form of proper worship? If you saw a man or woman and you say, you know what? They're godly. What would they be doing? I want you to think about this. I don't want to just tell you this. What do you think they would be doing? You say, what are you talking about? Come on now. You see them really, really godly. Yeah. Well, you see them when you're in your daily activity or your Sunday activity, and you say, you know what? I bet you that's a godly guy.
Praying or reading the Bible.
You see them, you know what? They're praying. They're reading the Bible. All right?
Shouting
the emotion. They're praising. They're praising God, right?
Yeah.
Praising. That is praise. That's all right. Praise and worship.
Serving.
Yeah, they got a deacon board, usher board, women's auxiliary, men's auxiliary, children auxiliary, auxiliary, everything, right? How about, are they giving money? They're donating. Yeah.
Preaching.
Yeah, that's right. That's the
church attendance.
Yeah. They're attending. They're always meeting, right? Seminars. Seminaries.
Hospital visits.
Yeah, they're
visiting the sick.
They're doing all the visitation.
Prison ministry.
All kind of ministries, right? Women's ministry, children's ministry, older ministry. You can go on and on, couldn't you? And he said, look, just like they're doing it.
But they're born of the truth.
He says, they have a form of godliness, but they didn't deny the power thereof. Because when you take all the works out, when you take all that stuff out, you go back to lovers of their own selves. You go back to these things that's inside. It's an internal issue.
Motivation.
It always goes back. So you can't tell by the activity. You can't. You're right. You don't know. See, if I took that guy's check away,
the heart will show up.
Then you. That's, you know what? Mark chapter 7. That's a good point. Mark chapter. Hold your hand there. Mark chapter 7. Just to show you, this is nothing new. Mark 7. The Pharisees and the lawyers, when they confronted Jesus. Now, you know what? The Pharisees and the lawyers, you know where they were in that day? They were godly. They looked like
they
had a form of godliness, right? And they met with Jesus, and they says, hey, Jesus, Well, they didn't say this, but I'm just paraphrasing. He says, we noticed something. Your disciples, they don't wash their hands before they eat. They don't wash the cups. They just sit down and eat. That's not godly. What do you say about that? He says, look at 7 verse 1. We're just going to jump through here. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands often, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. Verse 6. Well, you know what? Let's not skip it. Let's just read through. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands, oft eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? And he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do. You see the contrast here? He says, and he said unto them, full well, ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own traditions. Tradition. Now, you say, well, that's the Pharisees. See, we let them be back there, but it never really gets up to us, does it? We never really examine, and I'm not saying other people, I'm saying us. Us meaning you. You meaning proper noun inserted here. He says, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curses father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, I can't give it to my mother and father because it's a gift. And I got to keep it. He says, but you say it is korban, that is to say a gift. By whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. That's me. You know what? I would have gave it to you, but I'm holding it for a gift. So you could have profited from your mother and father, could have profited from it, but your escape is this. It's a gift. So you off the hook. And he said this, and you suffer him no more to do anything or aught for his father or his mother. So all he has to do is tell you to get out of giving. All he had to do is tell you what? It's a gift. I set it aside for a gift. And you say, oh, well, okay. Don't worry about it.
I got a note here. I wrote, similar to purchasing an indulgence.
Okay. That's he's off the hook. He's off the hook. But he said this, when you do that, he says, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. And when he had called the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entereth into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable, and he said unto them, Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever things from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. You know what the draught is, right? That's right. When the elimination, when you eliminate draught, purging all things on the cleansing. He says, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. He said, now, the problem is what? You got a black heart. You know what? You count those things up. You got 13 things. That's right. He said, you don't want to do what God said do. You never did. And you and the old man never want to. That's why when you go back to 2 Timothy, he says, it's perilous times because you have believers acting just like the old man. They're manifesting the old man, but they're pretending the activity looks like the new man. He says they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. The power of godliness is the doctrine. See, you can't have godliness without the thing that promotes godliness. Let me say it this way. You can't be an all-star pitcher if you don't want to go to practice. You can't expect the results without the work being put in. So you can't expect to have proper worship and service without understanding what it is and where it comes from. Because all you do is you'll replace it with what you think it is. But ultimately, you know what's going to show up? This right here. What's really inside is going to show up. After a while. All right, back to Titus. He says they have a form, and he said they will be ever learning, but never able to come unto the knowledge of the truth. You know what the truth, you know what godliness does? What the truth really does? It gets rid of you. It gets rid of the old man. Because it works from the inside out, not the outside in. The doctrine works from the inside out, transforming you. But what the ungodliness does, it takes what's on the outside and then stirs up the old man that's on the inside, and he doesn't need any help. Titus, he says, unto the pure, he says, all things are pure. But to them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. And we're going to finish up on these two verses. He says, unto the pure, he says, all things are pure. He says, the pure, and then you have the what? Defiled. That don't mean sinless. When you see pure, you all think, you know, they don't sin. The pure is, I think somebody that was sharing last week, they take the doctrine, I would say the doctrinally sincere, which really ends up to they're true believers. He said, true believers. Versus the defiled, he says that, he said to the defiled, he said, they're what? They're unbelievers. He said, but to them that believe not. So he says, to the pure, all things are pure. But unto those that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. He says, even their conscience is defiled. Even their conscience is defiled. So you take this, he says, here's a good example. We were talking about this, Johnny and I. He says, here's a man. He says, I really want to do what God wants me to do. And he's doctrinally sincere. Right? So they say, I went to this place and they says, okay, everybody stand up that want to speak in tongues. I'm just using this as an example. And they say, just repeat after me real fast. Just say it over and over again. Don't worry about what you say. Just say it. And you got everybody standing up and they're doing it. They're sincere. I believe they're sincere. Until I put the doctrine in front of them. And I said, hey, I know that you're doing it in ignorance and unbelief. Let me show you what God wants for proper worship and service. And I put it in front of them. And they read it and it says, should be by one, two, three at the most. And it can't be women. So when he sees that and he continues to go back, I got to put him in a defiled conscience category, because now he don't believe the doctrine that's according to godliness, that'll give him the proper worship and service. He doesn't believe it. He's rejecting that for the commandment of the group, the men. Now his conscience is defiled because you just read it. You just read it. You said that you were sincere and you turned away from it. Tell you what, maybe you didn't understand it completely. Where did we lose it? Let me walk me through it. Then you say, ah, here it is right here. You get them on the word. Where you lose them on the word. So maybe you don't understand all, that's you too. All is you. Oh, okay. One or two, three at the most. That means one, two, three, and no more.
And that
back course. That means you go, you stop, you go, you stop, you go, you stop.
Only if there's an interpreter.
And then let there be an interpreter. We good? We good? Now you believe? No. The conscience is this. Conscience is that
he has shut down his ears to the word.
Conscience is with knowledge. Con means with. Science is like knowledge. That means now you get the information that you have to evaluate, and you still reject it. That's what he. You, if you're ignorant, that means you don't. Your conscience can't work on it. But when I put it in front of you, and you say, "I see that," I don't care.
Because you know what it is.
Because you know what it is now. You see the contrast. That's why what Paul said is, he says, I did a lot of things against Jesus of Nazareth. But you know what he said? I did it ignorantly and unbelief. I thought I was right until he met the Lord. Now, that's what he said is. He says, I serve God from my fathers with a pure conscience. What? You killed people, Paul. You had people killed. I did until I met him. And he says, I'm Jesus. He says, okay, I go from here. Now, he said, now I'm doctrinally, that's why he goes to a place he says now. He says, look, I'm pure from the blood of all men. Why? Because I gave you the doctrine. So you can make a choice. A sincere choice. Okay. And we'll stop there. Let me give it to you something practical so you can sink your teeth into it. For us as believers, we take this word where Paul is our apostle. He tells us how we are to walk and to please God. You, whether it's as a husband or a father or a mother or grandmother, or worker, brother, son, wife, husband, grandmother, father, whatever it is, he tells us how we are to walk and to please him. You say, well, I didn't know it up until now. That's your fault. You're a big boy, you're a big girl, you know how to read. You can't say, I want to do what God wants done, and don't take steps to do it. To learn it. I say that with high level of charity too. So, me included. But when you see the choice there, now you decide whether I want to be this type of husband or this type of wife or this type of father, or this type, whatever that what God says. Then you say, well, I'm a pure, I'm doctrinally sincere. I want to do that, God. And then you see where maybe it doesn't quite line up with what you want to do. And then you move over here. And he says, they deny him. In works, they deny him. He said, and their conscience is defiled. Because now you have the knowledge and you choose. He says, your work, he said, you are reprobate. That is, you're, and we use this word, like probation. Probation means you're still on trial, right? And this says reprobate. Is put him back on. You act just like a guy back, like you might not be saved. You act just like a guy that's not saved. Because we save people, they won't do what God wants done, right? Don't they? We do, don't we? He said, well, you're acting just like one of them that don't know him and don't want him. That's not us, though, right? Though we be as reprobates, he said, that's not us, right? So then next week he picks it up and he tells you, he gives you examples of some people who are displaying the doctrine. That's in chapter 2. We'll look at that next week. So we're going to stop there and pick up next week on 2. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we spend in it. We pray that you would open our understanding as we meditate on these things and we give ourselves wholly to them, that our profiting may appear to all. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.